Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Wednesday class, June 19, 2024, 2 Corinthians.
Okay, one announcement before we get started. There will be a meeting of everyone involved with Vacation Bible School Sunday after the second class. Sunday after the second class, everyone involved with Vacation Bible School. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We are in the last paragraph of this chapter, in perfect timing. God's timing is absolutely perfect, because this is the ministry of reconciliation given to every member of the royal family of God as a part of your royal commission as a royal ambassador for Jesus Christ. The timing is absolutely perfect with Vacation Bible School next week. In preparation to worship our Lord, let's pray. Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. The very fact that we are even here this evening is a demonstration of who and what you are. And we thank you, sir, that you have magnified your word over all of your name. And therefore, the word of God is more important than the very air that we breathe. And as we assemble this evening to fellowship in the Word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, let's start at verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christo, this is a very technical phrase as a part of mousterion. We're living in the dispensation of the church age, and this is the dispensation of mystery doctrines that are unique to us, unique to this dispensation, unique to the royal family of God. And so you never have this technical phrase in the Old Testament. This is a part of mousterion, church age truth doctrine. And the only way you will ever know about it is through the God-breathed scriptures. In Christo. In Christ. If anyone is in Christ, current positional truth, as a result of faith in Jesus Christ and the baptism of the Holy Spirit, he is a new spiritual species. The old things have lost their power. Behold, new things have come. And this mysterion doctrine, in Christ, positional truth, is one of the most critical doctrines for the church age believer to learn, know, metabolize, and apply to his life. Positional truth is also equivalent to positional sanctification. And the verb to sanctify, hagiazo, means to set apart. And at the moment of faith in Jesus Christ, you are set apart by God the Holy Spirit and entered into union with the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords, Jesus Christ. So that we are not just family of God, we are royal family of God. And to whom much is given, much is expected. Positional truth is our relationship with Christ in the church age. It refers to the church age believer in union with the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords, Jesus Christ. It is the key to understanding the church age and the royal family of God. It is the basis for distinguishing between Christianity and religion, because Christianity is not a religion. It is a personal relationship with the living and true God, the Lord Jesus Christ, entered into by simple faith in Jesus Christ. In Christianity, God does all the work, in contrast to every religion in the world. In Christianity, God does all the work. God the Father planned Operation Grace, the cross. God the Son executed it on the cross. God the Holy Spirit reveals it to us. And therefore, man simply places his faith in the finished work of Christ on the cross for eternal salvation. Ephesians 2:8-9. Positional truth is one of God's reasons for interrupting the age of Israel. For now, he is calling out a royal family of God. The mechanics of positional truth, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, whereby God the Holy Spirit enters us into union with Christ, 1 Corinthians 12:13. Positional truth guarantees no judgment for believers in eternity. Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Positional truth qualifies the believer to live with God forever. And to live with God forever, you must have eternal life, 1 John 5:11-13, and you must have God's perfect righteousness, 2 Corinthians 5:21. Positional truth guarantees the believer's eternal security. Romans 8:38-39, nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Positional truth belongs to all believers, all categories of believers, reversionists, winner believers, immature believers, carnal believers. It occurs at the point of salvation, faith in Christ, before experience in the Christian life begins. And therefore, positional truth does not depend on the experience that you have. Even though you may be in reversionism, living in Satan's cosmic system, you still have positional truth. Being in union with Christ has nothing to do with what you do or don't do. Being in union with Christ is an act of God the Holy Spirit, not an act or a reaction by a morally degenerate believer. Positional truth creates a new spiritual species, and that's our passage, 2 Corinthians 5:17. You are a new spiritual species at salvation by being in union with Jesus Christ. Positional truth is designed by God so that the royal family of God can have maximum divine good production in your life. Ephesians 2, verse 10. Positional truth is the basis for grace blessing. Ephesians 1, 3 through 6. Positional truth means we share everything that Christ has and is. We share His eternal life, 1 John 5:11 to 13. We share Christ's righteousness, 2 Corinthians 5:21. We share the election of Christ, Ephesians 1, 3 and 4. We share the destiny of Christ, Ephesians 1, 5 and 6. We share the sonship of Christ, Galatians 3, 26 to 28. We are the heirs of God and joint heirs with the Son of God, Romans 8, 16 and 17. We share the royal priesthood of Christ, 1 Peter 2, 5 and 9. We are royal ambassadors for Christ, our passage, 2 Corinthians 5:18 to 20. We have eternal security. We are adopted into the royal family of God, Ephesians 1:5. But what positional truth is not, it is not an experience. It's not emotion. It's not ecstatics. It's not progressive. It cannot be improved in time or eternity. It is not related to human merit or ability. It cannot be changed by God, by man, or by angel. It is eternal in nature. It is not obtained gradually as you grow in grace. You receive it in toto at salvation. It is not known or oriented to apart from learning and believing mousterion truth, church age truth. From understanding the doctrine of positional truth, we progress in our spiritual life, but we cannot improve positional truth because it is perfect at salvation. We are not in Christ because of what we do by way of works or fail to do, but because of what God has done for us. And therefore, verse 17, if anyone is in Christo, in Christ, current positional truth as a result of faith in Jesus Christ, and the baptism of the Spirit, he is a new spiritual species. The old things have lost their power. Behold, new things have come. Now the last paragraph, 2 Corinthians 5:18 to 21. We have our royal ambassadorship and the ministry of reconciliation. 2 Corinthians 5:18 to 21. So far in verse 18, we just barely got started. Now all these things are from God, the grace and power of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Christ Jesus. We always start with the King James. We have the articular aorist active participle of katalasso, plus the accusative plural of the personal pronoun ego, plus the dative singular of the reflexive pronoun heautu, plus the prepositional phrase dia, plus the genitive singular of Christos. Now I want you to notice, in the King James it says, who has reconciled us to himself by Christ Jesus. Jesus is not in the original autograph, just Christ. So we have dia plus the genitive of Christos. There is no Jesus in the original autograph. The verb here is katalasso. Looks like that in the Greek, K-A-T-A-L-L-A-S-S, long O. Katalasso. Couple of things. One, katalasso means, guess what? To reconcile. It means to reconcile. It means to remove a barrier. Katalasso is the main Greek verb that teaches the doctrine of reconciliation. Two, katalasso means to change someone from a state of hostility into a state of tranquility and peace. To change someone from a state of hostility into a state of tranquility and peace. Three, it means to change someone from a state of enmity, being an enemy, to removing the barrier, reconciliation. Today, in our country, we have an angry society. Angry society. Full of mental attitude sins, full of sins of the tongue. They are full of hate and anger and rage. And you see it in everything. You see it in sports, you see it in politics, you see it everywhere you go. You see it driving your car. I mean, I'm not a slow driver. I mean, Tim races me home every night after class. And, you know, I have to go 95, and he still passes me. But I don't drive slow, and I get people come right up on my bumper, and then like, and I'm going 85 to 90, and I kind of think I'll hit the brake. Oh, he bumped me in the behind, you know. But he can't go to the right, he can't go to the left, there's cars everywhere, and then there's a little bit of meow goes by, meow! And he tells me I'm number one. Thank you very much. And around he goes. So whether you're just driving down the highway or going to an athletic contest, there is hatred and anger and rage everywhere. By the people in the stands, by the athletes themselves out on the court or hockey rink. You see it in politics all the time. But for those winner believers, that have they enjoy reconciliation with God, the barrier's been removed between God and man, they have peace with God. But even something that's more fantastic, you have the basis for the removal of barriers in human relationships. Removes all personality conflicts. Look at marriages today. They crash and burn and crash and burn and crash and burn. Reconciliation, when you have, what is reconciliation? It's a part of impersonal love for all. The functional virtue of impersonal love for all. And so as believers in Jesus Christ, you need to grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ and have virtue, love brought to completion in your heart. And when that happens, now in your marriage relationship, you don't build barriers. You don't create barriers. You remove barriers. You tear down barriers. There's reconciliation. You eliminate all the personality issues in marriage and in every personal relationship. And you, I don't care how obnoxious the other person is. When you have impersonal love for all, you love the good, the bad, and the ugly. And there's lots of bad and ugly out there. And they're getting to be more and more and more. But when you have impersonal love for all, you can operate with virtue and honor and integrity toward the most obnoxious people walking on the face of the earth. And that's why, well, we don't have that many winner believers. There are not that many spiritually mature believers that have virtue love brought to completion in their heart. We don't have believers that have personal love for God the Father and personal love for Jesus Christ who are occupied with Christ, because when you do, that will motivate you to have impersonal love for all. And a part of impersonal love for all is the doctrine of reconciliation. That removes all barriers. And you operate with virtue and honor and integrity to all. So, catalasso, to change someone from a state of hostility into a state of tranquility and peace, it means to change someone from a state of enmity to reconciliation. The aorist tense is a constative aorist, viewing reconciliation in its entirety. The active voice, God the Father, performs the action of the verb, reconciling us to himself through Christ. And the articular participle is substantival. That means it functions as a noun and is correctly translated, the one who reconciled. Substantival participle, the one who reconciled. The one who reconciled who? The accusative plural of the personal pronoun, ego. E-G long O, ego. Plural, us. The one who reconciled us. Everyone who places their faith in Jesus Christ. The dative singular of the reflective pronoun heautu. That's not very good. I slipped a little bit. H-E-A-U-T-O-U. Reflexive pronoun, to himself. To himself is God the Father. And then we have the prepositional phrase, dia plus the genitive of Christos. Dia plus the genitive, well, for those of you who are consistent in your assembling, to learn and believe the God-breathed scriptures, dia plus the genitive is by means of. If you have dia plus the accusative, that's because of, on account of. We have dia plus the genitive. By means of, or when it's the person, by the agency of, And we have a person here, Christos, Christ. Jesus, again, is not in the original autograph. So, corrected translation, now all these things are from God, God the Father, the one who reconciled us to himself through the agency of Christ. And here we have phenomenal blessing here, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. This is the conjunction chi plus the aorist active participle of ditto me plus the dative plural of the personal pronoun ego plus the accusative singular of diakonia with a definite article plus the genitive singular of kata lage with a definite article. The conjunction chi is a connective chi, and you translate that and then we have the verb ditto me. D-I-D long O-M-I. Ditto me. Ditto me means to give something to someone. So a couple of things. One, God has given to every church age believer the ministry of reconciliation. Every one of you. Every one of you in Upland Bible Church, every member of the royal family of God, God has given to every church age believer the ministry of reconciliation. Two, and this ministry of reconciliation is directly related to our royal ambassadorship. It's directly related to our royal ambassadorship. In this paragraph, verse 20, previews the coming attraction. Verse 20, now we keep on being ambassadors for Christ. God the Holy Spirit, as it were, makes his appeal through us. The convicting ministry of God the Holy Spirit, every time you fulfill the principle of witnessing for Christ, or if you have the gift of evangelism, a few males have the gift of evangelism, but all of us have the ministry of reconciliation and the responsibility of witnessing for Christ. Makes his appeal through us, the convicting ministry of God the Holy Spirit. We request on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. So this is directly related to our royal ambassadorship. Point one, again, God has given to every church age believer a ministry. The ministry of reconciliation. And this is directly related to our royal ambassadorship. Three, the church age believer has been commissioned by God as a royal ambassador representing the Lord Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. The church age believer has been commissioned by God as a royal ambassador representing the Lord Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. Four, this means that every member of the royal family of God is in full-time Christian service. All of you are in full-time Christian service. Every one of you have been given a ministry of reconciliation. So don't just look, well, Pastor Olson, he's in full-time Christian service, or a few those with the gift of evangelism, they are in full-time Christian service. No, all of you have the ministry of reconciliation. Every one of you as royal family of God are in full-time Christian service. What a privilege. What a fantastic blessing. And at the same time, tremendous responsibility. But it will never be fulfilled until you fulfill your two royal commissions. It starts with the first one, your royal priesthood. That has to be fulfilled first. You have to, well, you represent yourself before God. You find a sound Bible teaching church. And then, well, then it depends on you. You have to have just two things, just two gifts. But it's very rare to see that today among royal family or believers. You have to have humility. That knocks out 95% of all believers. They don't have humility. They're just too damn arrogant. They know everything. They know more than everybody else. They know more than the pastor. They know more than God. You have to have humility. Respect for the authority of God. Respect for the authority of the Word of God. Respect for the authority of the pastor teacher who teaches the Word of God. Without that, you will never grow up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. The second thing, positive volition. And frankly, most believers are not positive. They're not. Bible doctrine is not important to them at all. It's not more important than the air that they breathe. It's not important at all. Okay, you know, there's a church, Upland Bible Church. What are those people? They're nuts or what? Assemble there again and again and again and again. And for most Christians, that's not important. Everything else is more important. Everything, you name it, is more important. And the Word of God is not more important than the air that they breathe. Well, it is to me. And it is to winner believers. The Word of God is more important than the air that they breathe. First of all, you have to fulfill that. You have to grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ. You have to fulfill your royal priesthood. You have to advance to spiritual maturity. You have to develop virtue love and have virtue love brought to completion in your heart. That has to be there first. The motivational virtues, the personal love for God the Father and occupation with Christ. That's only when you attain spiritual adulthood and spiritual maturity. And that's only through fulfilling your royal priesthood. That has to come first before you will ever, ever fulfill your royal ambassadorship. And of course, Christians today, most of them are not fulfilling their royal ambassadorship. They don't even know what that means. They don't even know that they've been given a ministry of reconciliation. But when you have virtue love brought to completion in your heart, maximum metabolized doctrine in your heart, you'd understand these things. And then you're motivated to have impersonal love for all. You're motivated to fulfill your royal ambassadorship and represent Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. The aorist tense is a constative aorist, viewing the church age believer's ministry of reconciliation in its entirety. The active voice, God the Father, performs the action of giving every member of the royal family this ministry, the ministry of reconciliation. Now, the participle, a lot of you just tune out when I'm going through explaining this. It's all communicating truth. The participle is circumstantial, attendant circumstance. Better put your seatbelts on. It's circumstantial, attendant circumstance. What does that mean? It has the same force as the main verb. What's the main verb? Katalasso in the first clause. So God the Father has reconciled us to Himself through the agency of Christ. And He has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. The dative plural of the personal pronoun ego is to us. And then we have diakonia. Diakonia, D-I-A-K-O-N-I-A, diakonia. A couple of things. This word, diakonia, comes from the verb diakonao. Diakonao, D-I-A-K-O-N-E, long O. Diakonao means to serve, and it was originally used of waiters in a restaurant, waiting on someone at a table. And I'll be real on it. There's a few restaurants, couple of restaurants Deb and I go to. And one of the reasons we go there, the waiters are fantastic. They are fantastic waiters. And they know that I'm a pastor. They know that we're Christians. And they absolutely love seeing us. We come in, they get the biggest smile on their faces. They're happy to have us there. They're happy to wait on us. And they make going out a real special occurrence. Very special. And everybody in that, not just our waiter, but all the other waiters. We have several different waiters that we have got to know. And they all come by. And they all come by with big smile on their face. And the last time we were in, there's a couple of restaurants. I go to the Fleming Steakhouse. I don't eat steak. I eat fish. I go to Fleming Steakhouse and eat fish. Debbie looked up for the best seafood restaurant out where we live, and the best seafood restaurant, Fleming Steakhouse. We go there and order seafood every time we go there. Last time we were there, it was our 49th Friday. Last Friday, our 49th wedding anniversary, Debbie calls up and makes reservations. They always ask, is there anything special that you're doing? Yes, it's our anniversary. We got there, happy anniversary, all kinds of stars and hearts and everything all over the table. Made a mess of everything, you know. And everybody knew it was our anniversary. And they... the end of this deal, they all came and just talked and talked and talked and talked, big smiles on their faces. And then all of a sudden, I told Deb, I said, there's all of the waiters are back there, all together, and they're doing something, and they all have something in their hands. Some of them had dessert, different kinds of dessert. Some of them had champagne, some of them had glasses, some of them has red wine, and they all line up, and here they all come to our table, big smiles on their face, and they sang, "Happy anniversary to you." Well, they heard me say things like that in there all the time. Now they all did it and laughed, big smiles. And I said, you guys are the best. And this is just 49. If God lets me stay here for another year, we'll have the golden anniversary, 50. But it just makes it very, very special. It's not just, there's another restaurant or two that we go to, and same thing. They are very, very special. Another restaurant, Debbie comes in. They come up. Debbie gets kissed on the left cheek. She gets kissed on the right cheek. She gets her hand kissed. I just say, no way, you're not touching me, you know. And they'll point up. One of the waiters points up and goes, Jesus. I go, yes, Jesus. He's in here, Jesus, right there. Well, this is the verb, diakoneo. to wait on someone at a table too. Therefore, diakonia means service, being in service, having a ministry. Having a ministry. Three, every church-age believer has a ministry. Specifically, that ministry is called here katalage. K-A-T-A-L-L-A-G, long E. This is the noun that comes from katalasso. And this is the noun reconciliation. Every church-age believer has a katalage, a ministry. Specifically, the ministry of reconciliation. And therefore, we are all in full-time Christian service. So the corrected translation, now all these things are from God, God the Father, the one who reconciled us to himself through the agency of Christ. And he, God the Father, gave to us the ministry of reconciliation. And he, God the Father, gave to us the ministry of reconciliation. One. The key to this verse is to realize that every church age believer has been given two royal commissions. Every church age believer has been given two royal commissions. He has been commissioned a royal priest representing himself before God, and he has been commissioned a royal ambassador representing the Lord Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. So the key to this verse, the church age believer has been given two royal commissions. He has been commissioned a royal priest representing himself before God. He has been commissioned a royal ambassador representing the Lord Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. Two, these two royal commissions mean that God has a plan and a purpose for our life after salvation. These two royal commissions are commissioned as a royal priest and commissioned as a royal ambassador. They mean that God has a plan and purpose for our life after salvation. Three, the first part of the plan is to fulfill our royal priesthood. That's the first part of the plan. Fulfill our royal priesthood. Fulfill the mandate of 2 Peter 3:18. Grow up spiritually. Grow up in grace orientation, and knowledge, doctrinal orientation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's the first part of God's plan for all of us, to fulfill our royal priesthood, 2 Peter 3:18. Grow up in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Four, this is accomplished by consistent and faithful metabolization of Bible doctrine. And of course, I admit, it's very hard today to find a sound doctrinal teaching church. There aren't that many in America today. And the ones that were operating that had very excellent Bible teachers, those Bible teachers are in heaven now. They're in heaven. Most of them are in heaven. Those churches are shut down. They're not in operation. And they can't get a pastor qualified. And I get phone calls here again and again and again to recommend somebody that can come in and be a pastor. And I said, sorry, I can't recommend anybody. I don't know anybody. And they said, we have had people come in and candidate, and none of them are qualified. None of them are qualified to be teachers, pastor teachers of a local church. I said, I know. We're living in the dark ages. In fact, those pastors who are out there, the best you can get, they don't even teach, they don't even study and teach from the original languages. They just go from the Bible or computer or something, but that's not the way the spiritual gift was designed to operate. I said, we're living in the dark ages. And there are no seminaries, maybe in Albuquerque, there's that seminary there, maybe there's a few people that are being prepared there through the languages, but that's about it. So first of all, you have to find a sound doctrinal teaching church. And then it's up to you. It takes positive volition and it takes humility. That's all. Pretty simple. But if you have positive volition and humility, then you assemble consistently and faithfully and learn and believe the Word of God, grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ. So this is accomplished by consistent and faithful metabolization of Bible doctrine. 5, this develops the motivational virtues of personal love for God the Father and personal love for Jesus Christ, occupation with Christ, which motivates us to fulfill our royal ambassadorship and represent Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. This develops the motivational virtues of personal love for God the Father and personal love for Jesus Christ, which motivates us to fulfill our royal ambassadorship and represent Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. 6, fulfilling our commission as a royal ambassador is the functional virtue of impersonal love for all. It's a very important part of the functional virtue of impersonal love for all. Seven, specifically in our verse, it is fulfilling our ministry of reconciliation. Specifically in our verse, it is fulfilling our ministry of reconciliation. Reconciliation is a very important part of impersonal love for all. 8, as a member of the royal family of God, you have a fantastic ministry. The ministry of reconciliation. You are all in full-time Christian service. As a member of the royal family of God, you have a fantastic ministry. The ministry of reconciliation. 9, you have the glorious privilege of giving the grace gospel to a lost and dying world. You have the glorious privilege of giving the grace gospel to a lost and dying world. Now all these things are from God, God the Father, the one who reconciled us to himself through the agency of Christ. And he, God the Father, gave to us the ministry of reconciliation. All right. Well, these last three verses, 18 to, or maybe it's four verses, 18 to 21, the doctrine of reconciliation. The doctrine of reconciliation. One definition and description. The doctrine, subpoint one, the doctrine of reconciliation is defined as that category of soteriology which explains the removal of the barrier between God and mankind through the salvation work of our Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. The doctrine of reconciliation is defined as that category of soteriology which explains the removal of the barrier between God and mankind through the salvation work of our Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. Two, at physical birth, we came into the world physically alive, but spiritually dead. And that spiritual death is a barrier between God and man at physical birth. So at physical birth, we came into the world physically alive, but spiritually dead. But spiritual death is a barrier between God and man. Three, all believers are reconciled to God the moment they believe in Christ. All believers are reconciled to God the moment they believe in Christ. But the work of reconciliation actually took place on the cross. So all believers are reconciled to God the moment they believe in Christ, but the work of reconciliation took place on the cross. Four, reconciliation between God and man must be ratified in every individual case. How? Through personal faith in Jesus Christ. Reconciliation between God and man must be ratified in every individual case through personal faith in Jesus Christ. Point five, mankind is reconciled to God. God is never said to be reconciled to mankind. And that's our verse. Now all these things are from God, God the Father, the one who reconciled us to himself. Who reconciled us to himself through the agency of Christ. So mankind is reconciled to God. God is never said to be reconciled to mankind. Six, in reconciliation, man is reconciled to God by the salvation work of Christ on the cross. In reconciliation, man is reconciled to God by the salvation work of Christ on the cross. Seven, reconciliation is stated as a doctrine in our verse, 2 Corinthians 5:18, and then it's defined in 2 Corinthians 5:19. So let's look at both of those together. Now all these things are from God, God the Father, the one who reconciled us to himself through the agency of Christ. And he, God the Father, gave to us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, God the Father was in Christ reconciling the world, all of mankind, to himself, not imputing their trespasses, their personal sins against them, and he has committed to us the message of reconciliation, the grace gospel, the communication of the grace gospel. So our personal sins were not imputed to us. Instead, our personal sins were all gathered up by God the Father and imputed to Jesus Christ on the cross. And then they were judged by God the Father. The imputation of our personal sins to Christ and the judgment of those sins becomes a major factor in the removal of all barriers between us and God. So that's point one, definition and description. Point two, all church-age believers as royal ambassadors have the ministry of reconciliation under two categorical functions. All church-age believers as royal ambassadors have the ministry of reconciliation under two categorical functions. First of all, there's the spiritual gift of evangelism. That's for a few. A few church-age believers have the gift of evangelism. The second is the function of witnessing for Christ, and all of us, every member of the royal family of God, is mandated to witness for Christ. And that's our passage, 2 Corinthians 5:18 to 20. Three, we have a responsibility toward those who are not reconciled to God. We have a responsibility toward those who are not reconciled to God. Turn over to Ephesians 6. Ephesians 6, and in this passage, Ephesians 6, we have the armor of God. And a very important part of the armor of God is having your feet shod, it says in the NASB, shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, reconciliation. So let's go ahead and start at verse 13. Therefore, take up the full armor of God, that you may be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Therefore, stand firm, having girded your loins with truth. There's fulfilling your royal priesthood and getting maximum metabolized doctrine in your heart. And having put on the breastplate of righteousness, that's grace righteousness, as a result of growing up and getting maximum metabolized doctrine in your heart, you attain spiritual maturity, you attain grace righteousness, and then having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And the peace is a synonym for the doctrine of reconciliation, the gospel which teaches reconciliation. So we have a responsibility toward those who are not reconciled to God. For, therefore, the ministry of reconciliation is fulfilling our royal ambassadorship and presenting the Lord Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. Therefore, the ministry of reconciliation is fulfilling our royal ambassadorship, presenting the Lord Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. Well, all right, we've covered point one and point two. That's a lot of sub-point. Next week, we'll pick it up at point three. And it just gets better and better as we go along. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge each one of us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.